Before I dive into our sermon, I always like to give out a little bit of a warning. If we're going to be preaching on something a little bit sensitive next week, I'm going to call it a PG-13 sermon. We're going to be talking about foster care, and it may be a triggering type of sermon for some people that have been in the foster care sermon or foster care area. And so because of that, I just want to give you a warning with that. It's going to be a unique service. We have some individuals coming in that are going to be talking with us about it. And just a heads up, it'll be a PG-13 service. So with that, we are winding down the series of how to be a church for the region. And this morning, it is very much about a call to Christ. And I want to take us to arguably one of the most important verses in all of Scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. This is the call for all the people of the earth to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. It is the call to salvation. And I wanted to start us there because it is the most important call. It's the most important call that you will ever receive. But there is a misconception within the American church that that is the only call that we need to respond to. That it is a singular call that happens at a singular time, and that's it. That's a misconception. Rather, what we come to understand in church history is you will receive several calls over your lifetime as a Christian. And in truth, there are four primary calls that you will receive, and we will look at those this morning. Paul, as Paul does, teaches us so eloquently in Romans 1, beginning in verse 1. This is perhaps the most succinct statement of the Christian life. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who is declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers making request, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us, by the other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by God. Paul is writing this to the church in Rome, and he starts out with this powerful statement of being called. And it's a passage that if we're not careful, we will miss the importance of these callings that are embedded within his statement. The first call that all of us receive is the call to salvation. Paul references this in Romans 1, verse 16. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." Paul is saying, you're saved, not by me, for it is the power of God that saves you. And it is a call to salvation, a call that is echoed throughout the Gospels. I'll use Mark as an example, Mark 16, verse 15. "And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Jesus is calling every single person in the world. It is a call to believe in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. It is a call to believe in the sacrifice Jesus made for us on the cross. And it is a call to repent of our sins and accept the free gift of eternal salvation. This is the most important call we will receive out of the four we cover this morning. The call to respond to the urging of the Holy Spirit to join God in eternity. Fully accepted, fully forgiven, fully loved. This is the call to salvation. The next call that we receive as Christians is the call to sanctification. Paul writes in Romans 1, verse 7, "To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints." It's an interesting terminology. Paul's not trying to manipulate the church. He's not trying to just use flowery words. He's saying, in your salvation, you have been justified by God. And part of that justification, part of that adoption into Christ, is that you are a saint. It is a declaration. You are saints, church. I'm saying that to you, South Lake. You are saints. It's a declaration. It's also an already not yet statement. It's one of these statements that Jesus Christ has declared you a saint. But our sanctification is a process. It is something that is continuous that we should be working towards. And because of that, it's an already not yet statement. Peter speaks more to the call to sanctification in 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 13. "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which are yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." Peter is referencing the call to salvation. In that, he is saying, it is Jesus Christ who called you, and now, because he called you, there's a second call, a call to sanctification, that we are to be holy, we are to be like him. There is a misconception that I want to destroy. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, be holier than thou. It is to be holy, to be like Jesus Christ, to represent him, not on a Sunday morning, but on an everyday moment, that we reflect the very image of Christ to the world around us. When we answer the call to salvation, we have been saved and our sins have been washed away. But our old way of life, a life used to living in sin, will still call to us and tempt us to return to our old ways. We have a weapon to fight against this, the Holy Spirit. Now washed free of sin, sin no longer has power over us. And being clean, the Holy Spirit now indwells in us. Some of you need to hear this morning. At the moment of your salvation, your sin was washed clean. You're born again. You're new, a new creation made in Christ. And now the Holy Spirit indwells in you, leading you, guiding you. If you listen for that still, small voice to move you, to lead you in your life and all that you do. And I want to mention something because sometimes people get hung up on this. Temptation is not a sin. The temptation itself isn't a sin. It's our response to that temptation that can become a sin. We can't help if we are being tempted. That's an external source that is tempting us. That's external to us. That's not a sin, but how we respond to that becomes or can become a sinful action. If we listen to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and lead us, we will be holy. The Holy Spirit will call us to sanctification. He will call us to be holy and to be like Christ. And it is simply a call to abandon our old life and now reflect the very image of Christ upon the world. In our call to sanctification, we are called to be saints. And Jesus Christ declares us saints. Please remember that. The third call that we will receive is the call to service. Romans 1, Paul writes, "Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God." Paul, it's called to serve the church in the form of being an apostle. We're not all called to be apostles, but we are all called. Peter referenced this in 1 Peter 4, beginning of verse 10. "As each one of us received a special gift, employing and serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Peter and Paul are reminding us that we are called to serve for a singular reason. It is the natural response to his grace from saving us from an eternal damnation. That's why we serve, church. Some of us are struggling with serving in the church. It should never be a struggle. We're called to serve, and we're called to be grateful for it. And it is a natural response because Jesus Christ died on a cross for us. Why wouldn't I serve his church? It is only because he called us that we are saved from hell and unimaginable suffering. From this reality, we should have a desire to serve God. For serving is an act of praise, worship, and thanksgiving to our Savior. After all, Jesus served. He demonstrated his love to the world. We are called to do the same. We serve to build his church and to ensure that it is generational, that the church will continue once we are gone. As we gather here this morning, the point of any church, not only here, but in America, should be generational. That we pass the church along from one generation to the next. We serve every time volunteers are needed. We serve every time someone knocks on the front door. We serve every time we pray with others. We serve when others need help and we jump in and get our hands dirty. We serve when we act and no one else sees what we do. Call to service is a beautiful thing. You'll find there's a richness in it. When you serve, it becomes a privilege to serve, and it becomes fun to work alongside brothers and sisters. You develop relationships that last forever. The last call that we receive is the call to suffer. I want to point out that this one is not directly recorded in Romans 1, but it is referenced. Romans 1, verse 13, Paul writes, I, being Paul, do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. What Paul is referencing here is Paul desires to go to Spain. His intent is to go to Rome, spend some time building the church in Rome, and then he's going to continue on to Spain. Here's what we know. Here's what's recorded in Scripture. Is that Paul is imprisoned. He's beaten. He's flogged. He's stoned. He's shipwrecked. And eventually, in Rome, he will be martyred. Paul will suffer for the gospel in the most extreme way. This is the one call that is often the hardest for us. But we need to draw in and recognize that it is a call. It is one of the calls that you will endure in this life. 1 Peter 2, beginning of verse 20, Peter teaches this about the call to suffer. But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls. Peter's reminding us, you will suffer. We shouldn't be afraid of that. The call to suffer is a difficult one, but it is one that we should expect. And when it happens, we should be faithful. Of the four callings, this is the one that is the hardest and most misunderstood. When we suffer, we might become angry or frustrated or sad, or we may even be surprised, and we may ask questions such as, how could a loving God allow me to suffer? Paul and Peter are teaching us that if we suffer, if done in submission to God, it is recognized in heaven. For Christ himself will cry tears for our suffering before we do, because he loves us. I want you to hear that. Oftentimes in our suffering, we feel alone, and we feel like God has maybe even abandoned us. But I want you to hear something that Scripture records. When you suffer, it is Christ who cries before you ever shed a tear. Suffering in Christ is equal in value to service in Christ and sanctification in Christ. If you are suffering this very moment in your life, this is what God has called you to. And if he has called you to suffer, then you must respond in faithfulness and obedience, just like all the other calls. We respond this way because our Savior suffered. He knows our pain, and he weeps with us. Remember, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you, and he will not forsake you. These calls have one thing in common: a response. You see, these calls reflect the entirety of the Christian walk. Whether you are being called to begin that walk with Jesus Christ, or whether you're being called to be sanctified like Christ, or you're called to serve the church as Christ served, or maybe you're in a place where God has called you to suffer, these four callings encompass what every single one of us will face. But now, our application this morning is simply a call to action. This time I'm going to ask the worship team to make their way up here. And we're going to call people forward this morning. We're going to call you forward so you can respond to God, because maybe God has been speaking to you, or maybe in these moments God is going to speak to you. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. Regardless of which of the four callings you are feeling, understand that it is critical that you respond. It is God that is calling you, not me. And understand, you will not always be able to respond to this call. If you are feeling called to salvation, it is Jesus calling you to be saved. But this call can only be answered on this side of eternity. You cannot answer that call once you die, for your eternal destination will already be set for you. If you are feeling a call to sanctification or to service, it is from Jesus. He is calling you to be like him, to represent him to the world, and to fulfill the vision he has given this church. If you no longer feel convicted to live like Christ, and if you no longer feel like you are called to serve, know that you are no longer walking with God, but you are walking with Satan. For until we draw our last breath, we are continually called to be like Jesus and to serve him and to serve his church. If you are feeling a call to suffer, it is Jesus calling you closer to him. He wants to remind you that even if there are no answers, there is a purpose for what you are enduring. God is not a God of chaos. God loves his children. Your call to suffer is an invitation to be faithful and patient in Christ and to draw closer to him. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all with you. The body of Christ is with you. The church, South Lake, is with you. You are not alone, now or forever. For we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and it is a privilege for others to come around you in your suffering and to walk with you in your pain. These four callings represent the Christian life. No matter how long you have been a Christian, you are in the process of answering one or more of these calls. The only question that I have for you this morning is, are you answering that call? Are you fulfilling that call? If you need to come forward and talk to God this morning, do so. Come forward now and answer the call. If you are called to salvation, come forward and know that all of heaven, all of the angels, all of the saints sing and dance when you answer this call. If you are called to sanctification, come forward and be like Christ. If you are called to service, come forward and build His church. If you are called to suffer, come forward and join Him on the cross. Now is the time to answer that call. Now is the time to come to the altar. Do not wait for tomorrow, for it may not come. The call is urgent and it must be answered. Come and speak to your God. Come to the altar. Church, this morning we're going to do something a little bit different with our prayer and with our blessing. It is a posture of prayer that as children of God that we are going to respond. In Scripture, in the Old Testament, the prophets would write that we lift up our holy hands to God. And so this morning we're going to do that. I'm going to ask everyone to rise this morning with me at this time. The prayer that I'm going to pray this morning is, it's a long prayer. And it's written directly from the Psalms. And I want you to hear what God says to you in the Psalms, because it is such a beautiful prayer. If you've never read the Psalms, they're beautiful, beautiful prayers. So it's one prayer with four parts, with salvation, sanctification, service, and suffering. If you came forward this morning, or if you know of someone who needs prayer in this area, lift up your holy hands during that part of the prayer. You will see the transition of these prayers on the screens behind me. Watch the screens for the transitions, but listen to me. And at the end, I want all of us to raise our holy hands to God and praise to Him. And this will be how we end the service this morning. We begin in Psalm 141. Lord, I am calling you. Please hurry. Listen when I cry to you for help. Accept my prayer as incense offered to you, and my upraised hands as an evening offering. Father, as you call me to salvation, have mercy on me, God. Because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone, I have sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight, and you will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me, but you desire honestly from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Father, as you called me to sanctification, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, God. They cannot be numbered. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Father, as you call me to service, show me the right path, God. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you. Remember, Father, your compassion, unfailing love, which you have shown from long ages past. Do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Remember me in the light of your unfailing love, for you are merciful, God. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness in all who keep his covenant and obey his commands. Father, as you call me to suffer, I ask you, how long will you forget me? Will it be forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, "We have defeated him." Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. Because you have called me out of the darkness, because you have called me to be like you, because you have equipped me and called me to build the church, and because you have called me to walk with you in the darkest hour, I will praise you. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with a loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you all.